Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The nonstop media coverage of the Ebola virus and the American health system's ability to contain it is reassuring for some, alarming for others. Let's measure the public's pulse with Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup poll. Hi, Frank.
Hi, hello, Dave.
Has Gallup measured trust from officials, most notably the CDC, in terms of what they're saying about the virus?
We have measured confidence in the federal government in general to handle the situation. We've tracked that several times now. We haven't measured the CDC specifically, so we don't have a measure just on that. Trust in the federal government to be able to contain it, is it about 60% or confident or trust the government to be able to contain an Ebola situation? That's down somewhat, and this is important because we need a reference standard for these kind of numbers, and that's down somewhat from what we measured in the ability to handle the swine flu back in 2009. But it really didn't change over the last week. We'll keep monitoring it and see if it changes, but it's been stuck at about 60% now for a couple of weeks.
So can we take from that that some 40% think there's going to be a major outbreak in the country?
No. What we would take from that, Dave, would be that 40% are not that confident in the government to be able to handle it. That's not quite the same thing as saying there's going to be a major outbreak. I don't think any of the data I've looked at suggests that Americans are concerned about there being a major outbreak. Our data certainly doesn't show it. We have some concern it'll be a minor outbreak, but we're not at the point yet that Americans are concerned at a high level based on our relative kind of putting this in context that this is going to break out to be a major factor nationwide.
Frank, the countdown continues. Now 18 days out from the November 4th elections. Is there much interest yet?
No. Thought given to the election is up just a couple of points, and our polling that we just finished is still in the 30% range, so we're simply not seeing nearly the kind of interest in this election that we saw in 2010. And that was the last midterm election. Of course, the Tea Party was very big then. We had a big turnover in the House, a lot more interest then, and actually, there was a lot more interest in the 2006 midterm election as well. That's when Bush was in trouble because of the Iraq War. You have to go all the way back to the 2002 midterm election to find a time when interest was about the same as it is in this election at this point.
What are some of the factors that might account for the malaise?
Good question. I think, Dave, having looked at it very carefully, that one factor we're seeing is that Americans may be somewhat less concerned about who wins the election, which all the pundits, of course, are micro-focused on who's going to win these particular state Senate races, which in turn will indicate who's going to control the Senate, Republicans or Democrat. But I think a lot of Americans are saying, you know, that may be rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Probably too extreme a metaphor, but you get the point, because the real issue is government itself is not working well. The whole institution of Congress is not working well, and we really need to focus on that, and whether or not we get new people in controlling the Senate may be less important.
So we'll call it then cynicism or resignation to the status quo regarding government dysfunction that's keeping some from interest or perhaps going to the polls?
That's one hypothesis, certainly, that I share myself. The other is that we have a divided control of Congress at the moment. As you know, we have the Democrats who control the Senate and the Republicans controlling the House. So there is less of an ability to bring about change than we saw in 2010. When the Democrats control both sides, people say, well, what do I do about it? Because I can't get angry at Congress as a whole because Republicans control one side and Democrats the other. So that may have something to do with the fact that Americans are kind of saying, you know, I'm not all that interested this year in this election.
Lastly, I understand Gallup has new numbers regarding matrimony and well-being.
Indeed, we've been looking at our Gallup HealthWays well-being scores by marital status. Should point out it's very hard to establish causality here, but the facts of the matter are clear. Being married in America is associated with the highest well-being of any marital status. Below marrieds are those in a domestic partnership and single who have somewhat lower well-being, and then significantly below that are those who are divorced and those who are separated. So the correlation's clear. Being married is associated with high well-being. Being divorced and separated is associated with very low well-being.
Well, I hear your disclaimer, but nonetheless, what are some of the possible causality factors?
Well, it's always tricky when you look at associational data, correlational data. It could be that people who have low well-being to begin with, who are married, are more likely to get divorced or separated because they're kind of disgruntled people that don't like anything, including their spouse. So it could be that having low well-being leads to being divorced and separated. But probably the more plausible hypothesis is that people who get divorced or separated, their well-being plummets because they're in a state of uncertainty and have a lot of sadness and worry about their marital status.
Thanks, Frank.
You bet, Dave.
Frank Newport, editor-in-chief at the Gallup Poll. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.